Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Shock Factor podcast, where this week we're doing a morning one. We did not go super delirious and do a 6 a.m. recording like we have in the past. Have we done that in the past? I don't know. I've been delirious the whole time. But
Steve, let me just, I'm sorry to cut you off so early. If it was up to Mike Rooney, we would be recording these at 5 a.m. I think he has said that he has specifically requested the continuation of the morning pods, and they have continued to be a relatively convenient thing for Jake and I's busy baseball schedule. And it is a delight to start my Tuesday morning with you, Steve. It makes me happy.
There is a comedy show that no longer exists. That's one of my favorite things, called The Chris Gethard Show. And there's an episode of The Chris Gethard Show, Steve, where the entire premise is the entire staff stayed up for 48 hours and did not sleep for 48 hours and then tried to do a show. And I would like to do that one time with us. Like, just zero sleep, full delirium, trying to talk about college
baseball. Like regional weekend or like super regional weekend, we just watch every single game and don't sleep, and then like Monday at like 6 a.m. we just roll. Yeah.
We could like delay the games and watch them back over the course of the night.
Yeah. What a horrible
I'm a big
idea.
Believer in this. I think it's a great idea personally. Like, I think the delirium is where all the good stuff lies, you know. That's where, especially in college baseball, I feel like that's what we're drawn to, is the chaos. Those late inning games where it's like, okay, there's a rain delay, but this game has to get in before Monday. So we're going to stay at the field, start it at maybe midnight, end at 3 a.m., that sort of thing. But, you know, that's another reason why I love watching the Hawaii baseball broadcast, because it's like, okay, it's 3 a.m. If I rattle off a tweet with spelling errors, everybody expects that. You know, that is just perfectly fine. And no one's going to be like, oh, man, why is Steve not good at spelling at this time?
Right. 3 a.m., the gap between your spelling skills and everyone else's spelling skills gets smaller. And your inability to, you know, put in a GH, a soft GH, is less glaring. Speaking of things that are glaring, Steve, what baseball did you glare at this weekend with your eyes?
This weekend, I glared at a lot of different things, but in person, I glared at ECU NC State to start things off, which a lot of people might be thinking, what's going on? Those teams didn't play each other. They very much did, in fact, play each other, because I went and saw some club baseball action on my way to the ECU and Charlotte game on Sunday. And let me tell you guys, it was absolutely electric. It was at a place called Guy Smith Field or Guy Smith Stadium in Greenville, North Carolina. It's the home to a new summer ball team. I'm not sure the team name yet, but they're going to have an inaugural season this year. But it was just absolutely electric. It's a very old baseball field. When you walk in, I don't know how, but it smells like a high school gymnasium, which personally, I love that. That is a very
outside.
Good smell.
An outside stadium smells like an inside gymnasium. That's something.
Steve?
Yeah.
I have played there.
You've played there. What did you think of Guy Smith?
I played there in high school on a showcase.
This is news to me. Yeah. Think about all the things I know about Jake's baseball career, and I'm learning here too.
Yeah, this was the fall where I was most overmatched. I played some games here at Guy Smith Park. It's a very cool spot. You are spot on. It is a very unique setting for a game.
It really is. And like, you get the skyline of Greenville in the background, which I didn't know was a thing. But it was electric. And I think what's great about club baseball is, like, if you're one of the people who's like, oh, NIL is ruining the game, it's supposed to be amateurs, Watch club baseball, because that is exactly what the founders of the NCAA were looking for in terms of like, hey, this guy on our campus can throw hard, and we think he can throw better than that guy on your campus, because that was the original NCAA. And then everybody got really good, and now people are very entertained by it. And so it has changed. But if you want it at its purest form, I was at the field. There was a gentleman, I don't know his real name, because when he came to the plate, the PA just said, here comes the rooster, essentially. And he was up to bat. He swung and missed at a first pitch fastball. It kind of blew the doors off him. It did. And the NC State dugout yells, lose 20 pounds, maybe you'll hit it. Next pitch hits the furthest home run I saw all day long. And he is literally rounding the bases, rubbing his belly, going, guess I lost him. Just mother effing the dugout the whole way around the bases. The bat flip, the ball landed, and I filmed both the ball flight and the end of the bat flip in totality. I got the ball landing and the bat flip to showcase how long it took for the bat flip to happen. And so it's like, hey, if you want these things, if you want a game that hasn't been tarnished, go watch club baseball.
That's what 50 Cent wrote Into Club about. It's about Into Club baseball. But Steve, I want to focus on one moment before we get to like the actual baseball. So you went and saw NC State against ECU, and you tweeted a video with the following caption. Okay. Hospitality at ECU is unmatched. They got chicken supremes out, marinating in honey mustard, just waiting to be enjoyed by fans on the way to the game. And there is a video that you attached, which is a cup of honey mustard with a chicken tender in the tub of honey mustard. A hand picks it up and then puts it close to your face.
A hand.
Whose hand? I did not say your hand.
Who's to say?
We cannot be sure.
I will say these are definitely Steve. These are Steve's hands. Yeah, that's Steve's hand. Now,
allegedly.
That's Steve's hand.
Allegedly.
Now,
I can't prove it.
I don't know if you ate this strange chicken, okay? Because you did not film yourself eating the chicken, and I actually think you didn't eat the chicken.
That's a hot take. That's a hot take.
Did you eat the chicken?
In the spirit of very, very current events, I'm gonna plead the fifth. I'm not going to comment. The glove's not going to fit. I am going to allow the mystery. Okay, fine. I didn't eat the chicken, but the temptation was there.
I knew you didn't eat the chicken.
It's obvious I didn't, because I did not post a video of me eating the chicken. If I did, obviously I posted.
No. This is gross.
It was bitten. It was bitten. That's where it drew.
Hold on. Listen. This is Steve. We've had similar conversations along these lines before, and I'm pushing back. I'm giving Steve credit. This is another example of
Steve.
2022 Steve is eating the chicken, and he's showing you. And most people are watching. They're like, ha, Steve, and then they're like, that's gross. Like, why would Steve do that? Now Steve's realized the effect of this video is. For the people who are scrolling and watching for 30 seconds and then moving on, it will be the same. Only Jake is going to interrogate me on this on the podcast.
The reason I knew it is because I saw this and I was like, Steve would have filmed himself eating it.
It was a great edit.
Well done.
When I picked it up, I thought to myself, if this looks like it's untouched, there's a chance we bite. But I could see there was a very clear bite taken out of it. It was a Bojangles Chicken Supreme, which are incredible. They're my favorite kind of fast food chicken. Yeah. So it was hard to pass up.
Yeah,
I understand that, Steve. I understand.
Steve, I have one more club baseball related question. I mean,
can I talk about strange food in the wild quickly?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see us getting back here.
What people don't necessarily understand, Steve, is that I am part of the reason you and I are friends, Steve, is that I am comparably gross in many ways to you. And this reminded me of a moment when I was living in London and I found a Tupperware full of potato salad on the street, just a full Tupperware, like to the brim. and I took it home and I had it for lunch the next day.
How did that work out? How did that change the rest of your week?
I'm still here, baby.
Okay,
obviously I'm gonna have a question. What was the weather like? Because I see videos, I see movies, it's typically pretty gray. Was it cold out at least?
It was cold. It was like late November. It was late
naturally
November
refrigerated.
You're fine. I was out consuming not waters, and I stumbled upon it on the side of the street, and I was like, God, it is great. You know, this is for me. So anyway, Steve, the reason I bring this up is if you had eaten the chicken, I would have been fine with you eating the chicken.
I'm glad.
Setting it up to say the opposite, but the truth is he wanted you to eat the chicken so that he could feel a little bit more validated.
Yeah, the next time I stumble on a wild tender and honey mustard, I will take a bite from you, Jake.
You call me when you see ground food.
I will. You be my ground food guy.
Steve.
Yeah, let me call my expert.
Your tweets about club baseball. I have a couple of club baseball things, and obviously this is not what people are tuning in for, but we're going to go with it. And you went, which is awesome, right?
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Here are the two things. First of all, is like I've just fell down like the club baseball rabbit hole. Like I obviously am familiar with club baseball and like the concept of it, but I did not know how legitimately organized it was to the degree that which like there's rankings. Like ECU is the number one team, right? They're number one in the country, and I think they're undefeated, or at least there were when I was looking at their stats recently. There's very, you know, conferences, divisions are very interesting combinations of schools geographically, which is super interesting. There's a ton of them. Again, all this is on the website. My one question though, Steve, and again, maybe this is a really dumb question, do these teams have coaches, or is it entirely player run?
Phenomenal question. It's hilarious because it's like, oh, why would our coach make that decision? Well, he's thinking about that chem exam he just failed.
He's playing third base. That's what I assume.
So it is entirely, again, like, because when you watch the video, like they have umps. It's not like this is like intramurals. Like there is a level of organization and like official nature to these games, but that's what I assumed, is that it is entirely player student run. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So okay. It is, which is awesome. Like I loved sitting by the NC State dugout. There's a first and third situation, and there is this guy who he's no older than 21 calling out the bunt defenses in first and third situations while wearing an arm sleeve and cleats, like giving the signs. He's like, yeah, 4-1-3. I am fired up about this because it's like, dude, okay. That is by far the most boring part of the game. And you are, in my opinion, like I hated first and thirds, very boring. Mm-hmm. And this guy is like eating it up, which I'm here for.
That's what club baseball is all about.
Is all about. Okay.
I've never even said that one yet, which,
well, it's about time. Okay. Let me quickly talk about the college baseball I saw this weekend, and then we can move on to some bigger picture stuff. But while we're discussing the actual, you know, sports that we saw with our own two eyes. So I had been planning to go for a long time to go over to Ohio State, which is about an hour and a half drive for me. And I was like, oh, Iowa, I was coming to town. I mean, a month and a half, beginning of the season, I was like, oh boy, here comes Iowa. I got to go see Iowa against Ohio State. Obviously, the Hawkeye season hasn't exactly gone as planned for more ways than one. But I was like, you know what? It's the weather's beautiful. I still want to go see my man, Blake Guerin. We like Iowa. We saw them in Round Rock last year. There's some players on Ohio State I want to see. So I head on over to Columbus. But boys, grave mistake. I mean, this is rookie level stuff for me. All right. What's happening on Saturday in Columbus? Again, this is how tuned out I am to literally anything that is not baseball related.
Steve. What's happening on Saturday in Columbus? Another Morgan Wallen concert.
Worse. Even more people, because it was the Ohio State spring football game.
Oh.
Steve, I don't know if you have any experience being at a place where there is a spring football game going on when overlapping with some baseball. Let's just say parking was not especially easy. There was I took me about 30 minutes to find a spot, and I was miles from the football stadium. So that was unfortunate. Now, I also bring that up because I was hoping to see a former football player in Brody Brecht throw baseballs. But I roll up to the Ohio State press box and I look at the starting lineups and it's like, that's not Brody Brecht. He's not starting. It's Marcus Morgan. So Brody Brecht was scratched that morning while I was on my drive or while I was driving around trying to park. But instead, I got to see Marcus Morgan, another talented pitcher for Iowa, who is also having a very disappointing season. But lucky me, I got to see him have the best start of his season. He looked great. He was ripping ridiculous sweepers with 3,100 RPM. He was dotting up the fastball. Like, he looked fantastic. And I would not have known that his ERA was like over 8 if I watched him that day. And Ohio State was, it was what was so refreshing about this game, gentlemen, was that it was like a regular baseball game. It was like a low scoring, like 3-2. There was like some good defense. There was some bad defense. There was some good base running. There was some bad base running. There were, I think, only one home run, which was a little weird. I was like, oh, why aren't the balls going over the fence? But it was nice. It was some quality Big Ten action. Iowa hangs on to win. Ohio State ultimately wins the series. But it was a great day. I had a wonderful time watching some Big Ten baseball. And I don't know. It's getting pretty late for Iowa here. I don't know if they got a run in them. But I enjoyed watching Marcus Morgan. Blake Guerin, our man Blake Guerin, was not playing. He was coaching first, though. So probably the largest first base coach I've ever seen. I saw our man Marty Sutherland, associate head coach for Iowa, who we talked to a lot in at Round Rock last year. And yeah, it was always good to see the Hawkeyes. So just wanted to shout out some Big Ten ball, since I will say that I would say, guys, now that the Big Ten network is now going to kind of become our Pac-12 network in terms of the, like, I'm not really tuning in there.
No thanks, but no thanks. Let's hop. It's 15 minutes into the pod. Mm-hmm. And we have not talked about what I would call a notable Division I college baseball game to this point. Oh. With all due respect to Iowa,
that's State. Fine. Again, well, we had to just talk about Steve picking up chicken off the ground.
No, I understand, and that's my own.
So that's my own fault. Factor on a Tuesday morning.
Hell freaking yeah! But I figured we would just fly through some of the, you know,
please take us around game. The country. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, there's no better place to start than College Station. It is a town named after the whole operation, you know what I mean?
That's where the colleges go to sleep at night. They go to the College Station.
The College Station. High School Station would be a weird name for a town.
Yeah, but different thing.
Station is totally fine. Steve, Texas A&M sweeping Vandy at home. They are the new number one team in the country. I called this the "This is why we paid for Schloss" weekend. The vibes at Bluebell were immaculate, it looked like.
This is why you paid for Max Wiener. All right. All due respect to Schloss. The Aggies, who, by the way, I mean, I feel like they have just been sitting there in this top five. And I've looked at them and I've been like, this is the best. Listen, respect to Wu-Pig Sui and Clemson. I was like, this is the best team in college baseball. Like, when I've watched A&M this year, I'm like, this is the best team in college baseball. I felt like that. And they really showed it. I mean, Friday and Saturday, what did they win? A combined like 30-0 or something.
And it's against a good Vandy team too. Like, it's not like Vanderbilt's awful. Like, they have their Sunday guys throwing 100 miles an hour, and Texas A&M still handles everything. So I was really impressed with them. I want to counter what you guys said and say, this is why you pay for Hayden Schott. I think the vibes, you know, a guy can come into a program and bring different vibes. He is responsible. Him and Jace LaViolette are responsible for bringing Rattlinbog to the forefront of the Texas A&M program. The song, of course, which gets a lot of people fired up. And I think it's something that they're playing at games now after home runs, and the fans have really taken to it. When I talked with Hayden, he said Coach Schloss tries to act like he doesn't like it, tries to not get involved in the celebrations, but he can feel it. He can feel the energy. It's there. So shout out to him as well. But just an awesome weekend for the Aggies. And the SEC in general has this year especially been kind of what we were expecting, I feel like, in terms of the transfer portal, where, you know, the big fish are going to get – they're going to drift to the bigger ponds from time to time. And we're kind of dealing with the consequences of that now, where we're getting really good baseball but also really confusing baseball, where it's like, who's good this weekend? Who's good next weekend? And it's really tumultuous. That's the one word I can use to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, as we look at the top 25 and kind of zoom out just from this series, right? You mentioned like what's been really cool as we've been doing this pod over the last few years is a lot of these SEC teams have had their moments. You know, we're now looking at Kentucky, who was really good last year, but is now, what are they, 15-1 in SEC play? Like some like completely in 14-1 in SEC play. They're up to number 3 in the rankings. Arkansas, who drops a series against Alabama. Alabama, really, really big moment for them this weekend. Tennessee has stayed pretty steady there. And listen, let's say positive.
What a thing, by the way. Tennessee has stayed really steady there. Is right. A funny sentence that has been a roller coaster over the last couple of years.
And credit to them, because some of these other teams, I mean, Vanderbilt, who is a good team, but we've seen them get swept multiple times. And LSU, which, I mean, boys.
LSU, Florida, I mean, in the Cancun Bowl.
Well, hold on. We have to make an adjustment here, right? Because when we talk about, you know, famous NFL, NBA teams, right? 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Correct. All right, we'll see you in Cabo. All right, we'll see you on the golf course. What is the college baseball equivalent to your season is over in April?
So I think it has to be somewhat more north, just because, like, you're
not taking, international. It can't
be. Well, you're taking June off. Right.
Yeah.
So like you have a lot more options and it can't be international. You're right. It's got to be cheaper. PCB is not a terrible option, but it's probably too hot there in June. I would say somewhere like on a lake, right? It's like a lakeside situation somewhere in Missouri.
It's a little different for like the SEC teams versus the, you know, teams in the ACC that are getting bounced. But yeah, Steve, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a good comp would be like, hey, have fun practicing at summer ball, because the only guys who practice at summer ball are the guys who are there first day. If you make any glimpse of the postseason conference tournament, you can at least say like, hey, coach, going to be a week late. So you can skip the practicing part of summer ball. But this is like, you know, if it's this early, it's like we're kind of itching to get back to you know, competitive baseball. Yeah. So you should have never won that national championship. We all know what happens.
Well, it's like, exactly. That's exactly
like
what
I was going to say. Indiana Jones gets cursed. It's like, well, did you take the little monkey idol or not? you know, it's
did you raise that trophy that the NCAA official gave you or not? You're
a problem, buddy.
Yeah,
the University of Florida has lost 6 of their last 7. They are 18-17. They lost in the championship game last year and brought back a lot of notable players from that squad, including Jack Caglione. LSU, who won the Super Bowl of college baseball last year. they are in somewhat similar dire straits. They are 22-15. And
here's the difference. Yay. Here's the difference.
What's the difference? Okay.
Florida, due to their bizarre sequence of wins and losses early in the season, is 7-8 in the SEC, which is not good. But LSU is 3-12. LSU is second to the bottom in the SEC right now, to the point where they have so much ground to make up that how many teams make Hoover? This is like how, again, people listen. It's like, how do you not know that? That's like the first thing you learn when you live in Alabama and you're 5 years old is how many teams go to Hoover. But I'm not sure how many of the 14 teams go to Hoover. Is it 10? Is it 12?
I wanted to say was two teams missed was what I recall.
Just the two bottom. I think that's
yeah, because they do this single elimination like kind of anarchy mode, right, and it rains the whole time.
Okay, we know that part. That part,
and I'm it's very sure. wet.
Two teams make Hoover.
Presumably, just the bottom in each conference. So
it is the bottom two,
no matter what.
So it does not division.
Doesn't matter SEC West or East. Okay, so right now the bottom two teams are LSU and Auburn, right? And again, you think about like how wild the season has been. It is the middle of April and Georgia is in the top 25 and neither Florida or LSU is. Okay. Again, God bless the Bulldogs. I have enjoyed watching them this season. And credit to them for being 27-9. But it's shocking. It's a shocking thing.
And the rest of LSU's conference schedule, Auburn and Missouri. Missouri and Auburn the next two weekends. Like, you got to win
LSU and five. Auburn is LSU Auburn the next, or is Missouri next?
It's LSU Missouri this weekend, LSU Auburn the following.
Those are the three bottom teams in the SEC, right? So talk about playing for your life.
They better win.
Here. Yeah.
Because then they have A&M and Alabama and Ole Miss.
Okay. Yeah. It's not, I mean, again, like, this is the math is getting pretty
it's
challenging.
It's just so crazy though to think about this, and then we'll get away from the SEC. Like, these two teams, when we watched them in the final last year, right? It was like the ideal of college baseball. It was like, they were so good all around. And for both of them to be so underwhelming and so disappointing so quickly with a lot of the same players, not all the same players. Look, Langford is gone and Skeens and Cruz. Like, I understand all that. Right.
Yeah.
Like, but like a lot of the country, like, I understand those guys are like, okay, they're like, they're solid.
Yes.
I understand that. Pretty good. That all three will be in the big leagues by the end of this year. Yes, I'm aware of that. Still, these programs we thought were going to be sturdy enough to kind of endure that, and they just have not up to this point so far this season.
Good. I was just gonna say, and I love that like, because the SEC is so absurdly talented, any of these programs are capable of taking advantage of these other top tier teams being in shambles, whether that is Georgia, whether that is clearly Kentucky, who just won't lose, whether that is A&M, we saw them kind of loading up from a star power standpoint, or Arkansas, who's been really the steadiest, of the bunch, even though they haven't won at all.
I would like to pivot a little bit here and talk about some good news, which is that the Wake Forest Demon Deacons seem to have woken up. They started the year very slowly. The biggest concern, I would say, was really on the pitching side. We thought we were like, oh, they could have three first round picks on the mound. And besides, wasn't really the case, besides Chase Burns. And so this past weekend, though, they took 2 out of 3 for Boston College. But more importantly, Nick Kurtz is back. And Nick Kurtz is good. Holy crap.
He just went absolutely insane this week. Whatever span you want. Ever since he's been like fully back, he has been wasting zero time at all. And it's been a lot of fun to watch. I feel like every time I pull up my Twitter feed this weekend, I saw Nick Kurtz does it again. And it was like, dude, can we slow down? Because like, I got to tweet this from a multitude of accounts. And it's hard to keep up with which home run is the most current Nick Kurtz home run. But Jake, I don't know if this is rude to do, but can we refer to him as Nick Kehelfy? Because Nick Kurtz,
his OPS was under 900. But that's the thing. But Nick Kehelfy, let me tell you, one of my favorite, I love when, again, this is company man here. One of the best features on the D1 baseball, player pages is at the bottom. You can see like essentially a graph of like where their OPS or WRC plus is on a game by game basis. And you can see it go up and down. Right. And you pull up Nick Kurtz when he was Kurt on as recently as March 29th, his OPS was 867, which in 2024 is like, you might as well average. Be hitting average. If you're a great player, it's below average, right? I mean, 867 is great in the big leagues. Again, that was March 29th, not that long ago. It is now up to 14-14. 2 weeks. He's got like 13 overs in the last 9 games. It is an astonishing run. And it's one of those things where I watch these. This is not to take away from Nick Kurtz, but when I watch these highlights, boys, let's not. This is a lot of fastballs down the middle. I mean, I know it's some 3-1 counts, but this is what makes great. We talked about this with Mookie Betts. Sorry, he's a major league player and he didn't play college baseball, Steve. But Mookie Betts, like, you make your money, you make your stats on hitting mistakes. And as we know, there's a lot of mistake pitches in college baseball nowadays. And Nick Kurtz is not missing them ever.
Mookie Betts committed to
try his hardest every pitch. He committed to try his hardest.
What school was Mookie Betts committed to, Steve? Do you know?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. Where's he from?
This is why it's interesting.
That'll give it away. Okay, is he from LA? No, he's not.
No, not even. I love how little he knows.
Mookie Betts is from Nashville. He's from Nashville.
But he committed to Vanderbilt. To Bull. No, not Vanderbilt.
Tennessee.
Okay.
It wouldn't give it away. That's the thing. That's why it's interesting. Uh-huh.
That would not give it away. Yeah, because
he committed to Lipscomb.
Kurt Mookie Betts at Lindsey Nelson. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was actually just there to bowl.
That's true. He committed to Vandy for bowling and to Tennessee for baseball.
Incredible.
You got to keep it weird.
Anyway. Nick Hurts is back. Wake Forest looks good. Yeah.
Just quickly on Tennessee, Christian Moore and Blake Burke have been staples of our lives now for what feels like 30 years, even though they are only juniors, like real juniors. Mm-hmm. And there's just been like a lot of questions. I think even though they've been productive players over the course of their college careers, like Blake Burke is right, the all time home run leader at Tennessee.
Yeah. Christian Moore's like right behind him. He's like two behind.
Right. There still have been some questions about these guys, especially because, you know, they were on these Tennessee teams that were unbelievable and like important and famous. And then once those guys graduated, it was like, well, they've got Burke and Moore. Like, how good are these guys really? And this year they have proved the answer to be incredibly, incredibly special.
It's just how lucky are we that two guys with swings that smooth are on the same team, that we could go to one baseball game and experience that amount of visual pleasure of those guys hitting home runs. Because Christian Moore, every game, he is doing this thing where he hits a home run, and he just does like this little step back thing. I don't know the best way to describe it. It's something I know Gavin Grahovic had one over the weekend for Texas A&M where
Mike Trout kind of does this.
It's so satisfying where it's like, look, I shifted my weight so explosively and so on time that my back leg is just like, do I come through? Do I stay here? You know what? I'm going to go backwards because every action has that equal and opposite reaction. But these guys are incredibly satisfying to watch hit home runs. And in an era, in a world where, you know, you aren't supposed to be hitting as many home runs, they have these special bats in place to not hit home runs. And that's when we're breaking home run records. That's really cool. I don't understand why they introduced BB Core bats just to make home runs go away for a couple of years, to just change the way balls are made. Maybe it's big leather. Big Leather's trying to get a piece of the skin. That's what it really is.
Leather.
They're trying. If our balls aren't getting out of the yard, if they aren't getting thrown from the games, we aren't profiting. We aren't getting the $7 per baseball fee. So I think that's what it was. But Christian Moore and Blake Burke are completely, they are talking with Big Leather. I think they're in on this to get rid of these baseballs at this alarming rate, to where they have to keep reproducing baseballs and, you know, essentially keeping the company in business.
Again, that's what would we do without them, honestly? Tennessee's, I'm super impressed. I mean, with the volatility that you would kind of assume from them, they are 30 and 6, 10 and 5 in the SEC. And who do they? Oh, right. This weekend for them is Tennessee at Kentucky. I mean, well, this is going to, I know we don't normally do like previewing series, but they are high on the list for this weekend that we're looking forward to seeing. A lot to prove for both of those teams. So that will be very, very, very fun. Steve, we should get to our ad read unless Jake, you think we have anything. Also, I mean, we should do some tickling. So do you want to
tell us, do that
and then do the ad read, and then we'll get to our moments.
Yeah, I always prioritize tickling over ads. Nothing against our sponsors. It's just a personal preference thing. But this one, I got to shout out the real heroes, which is the ECU concession staff. Because I went to get a hot dog. As I walked in, first of all, the whole staff of ECU, phenomenal people, phenomenal process. Getting
to be clear,
a credential.
This is the ECU, not the club game, right?
This is okay. Clark LeClaire.
Sorry.
When I walked into the club game, it was an easy process. You just walk right in. At Clark LeClaire, a little different, but getting credentials, everything super easy, very smooth process. So shout out to the fine people there. But behind the concession stand, as I'm getting my credential, I'm speaking with someone and they're telling me, you got to try the Pirate Dog. It's really good. It's got pulled pork barbecue sauce on a hot dog. And I'm like, that does sound phenomenal. I am going to get one. What's the price looking like on that thing? Because I'm going to get multiple. $6.95. That is a steal. And at a baseball game for a hot dog with that many toppings and that many accoutrements. I don't know if that's the right way to use that word, but it's an early episode. I bite into this dog. Spicy brown mustard makes a surprise visit. Didn't know that was there, but holy cow. Let me tell you, a surprise mouthful of spicy brown was not on my bingo card of things that were good to happen to me, but it was. It was a very good thing. It was a phenomenal dog. I went back and got another. The regular hot dogs were $4, four even. I would say the buns were a little too much compared to the bun to meat ratio, but that's fine. I mean, they're typically throwing pulled pork on these things, so you are going to want a bigger bun now that I think about it. But that tickled my giblets. Now that we've talked about one real hero, it's time. Do you guys like other real heroes? You guys,
I love heroes.
What if I told you this podcast was sponsored by the heroes of Soldier Sports? Where to go? Where's the Henry? There's the word.
You don't know my heart.
Yeah, wait. People listening before were like, wait, Steve always reads that so perfectly. I'm sure he's memorized it.
I get the general gist of it because sometimes, like in my day-to-day life, if there's something that would transition good to have you heard of the Soldier Tank? I will let it rip. Like, I'll just say it walking down the street. But have you heard of the Soldier Tank 2025 BB Core Baseball Bat by Soldier Sports?
Yes.
You have. Okay. Yeah. This isn't just any bat. It's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors thanks to its infused power alloy technology that creates this ultra-big, ultra hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power. Designed for both power and contact hitters, it features a formula for success. Speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. I've seen it swung. Even the mishits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is roughly $2.75 million less than an actual tank. So okay. That's an incredible price. Well worth it to swing the top scoring BB Core bat ever. They're selling out fast though. So head over to soldiersports.us to get yours today. Thanks, Soldier Sports.
Thank you, Soldier Sports, as always.
Full disclaimer, I don't know the actual price of a real tank.
That was very apparent. I don't think you needed to clarify that.
Hey everyone, we're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Hey there, I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, Steve, let's get to our favorite moments of the week. I got some weird ones. Where do you want to begin?
I want to start in the middle, or well, the side of the road. Hey, why'd the turkey cross the road? I don't know. It didn't, actually. We'll never get the answer because it got absolutely destroyed by the Central Michigan University bus. The baseball team was heading back from a weekend where they didn't have a great experience with Bowling Green. Bowling Green swept them. That's not fun. The last game was, I believe, they lost in extra innings. It was like a 18-17 loss, which I want to say those are the numbers. That's not very fun. And then on the way home, you know, you got Freebird jumping through the windshield of your team bus. I'm pretty sure everyone was okay. Everybody was just kind of laughing about it. But, you know, after getting swept by the Falcons, totally get it. Totally understand it, where it's like you see another bird. It's like, I don't want to look at that thing. Kill it.
Well, 15-0 Falcons, 15-0 in the MAC. So no shame in that. But let's, again, why are we talking about this? Because this video that was shared by, I assume, someone on the team?
Yeah, I want to say it was their communications director, Jacob Tenson, was the one who shared it. Okay. He is a CMU grad student and aspiring broadcaster. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I need to hire a broadcaster, hire him.
Steve's caption on this video is so funny. But Jake, what are your takeaways here? It's kind of an upsetting scene, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not. So that's what's tough for me is like, is this a good thing? Do you want this? Like, if you're on the team and you just got, you know, shit pumped in three games, is running over a turkey into your truck good for the vibes? Or is it like, fuck, everyone's in a bad mood and now we have to wait around here even longer? I can't decide. I think this is the type of thing that what I would say to the members of this team, to the Fire Up Chips, here's what I would say. In 10 years, you are going to be so happy you killed this turkey, because you are going to talk about this forever.
Yeah.
This is a good thing. Okay. This is a blessing in disguise.
That's true, because there's not, listen, it's been a disappointing season for Central Michigan, right? 11-25.
Not anymore.
But now, not that it's not a disappointing season, but now this will be, unfortunately, you know, maybe the lasting image from your 2024 campaign. Steve, you doing all right there?
I think one of the funniest parts of this video is the guy standing next to the dead turkey wearing just a BP top with zero semblance of an undershirt, just with the big old grin.
What's crazy about this video is like,
someone didn't shower.
The wild thing about this video is like, the body language of the players does not indicate what has just occurred whatsoever. Like, they just look like they ran out of gas. Like, right? I've seen 100 videos of players being like, oh, our bus broke down, college baseball. This looks to be the same thing as that, except that's not what happened,
because the windshield is contorted because a turkey clattered right into it. All right, let's keep going down the list.
Can we add some more baseball, yeah. Steve? Take us somewhere else.
I just want to end with, I thought birds were supposed to be hollow. I don't really understand that.
Birds are real, apparently.
Yeah.
All right. Please give me some baseball highlights, Steve.
Baseball highlight, we got to talk about Carson Fluno, who almost had a full no-hitter. He he carried a no-hitter for Louisiana Lafayette into the top of the eighth against Marshall. And there is a ball hit back up the middle. And it goes right over the turf mound. And it's like, oh, that's a slow roller. He almost falls onto it and fields it himself to continue this no-hitter. And it's rolling up the middle. It's going to where a second baseman looks prepared to field the ball. Hits the second base bag. That's how the no-hitter gets broken
over.
Up.
It launches over the second baseman.
It's like the second base bag gave it extra speed, like in pinball when you hit one of the
or one of those
bouncers.
Mario things.
Also, the other interesting thing about the clip is if you watch the ball, it kind of rolls down the back of the mound and like picks up some speed there too. It is a hilarious and unfortunate highlight, but shouts out to those Cajuns. My God, they are just, what if they won like 17 in a row, or at least at one point they had won like 15 in a row, I think. So that's a quality ball club, but Carson Fluno, we salute your effort there. That sucks.
Yeah. I just think with their name, I get so confused with the J-U-N, J-I-N-G-S. I mean, Jake's name just showing us today exactly the conundrum that we're put in with the Raging Cajuns. Now, for the next highlight, though, I want to go a little bit north to somewhere that's a little bit colder and go to West Virginia, because Coach Mazie up there went after, I believe it was their Saturday game or after one of the games this series, he walked over to a Buffalo Wild Wings and essentially said, hey, look, if anyone went to our game today, you get a free beer. Which is great because Buffalo Wild Wings beers, this is not an ad, and I don't really do free ads, but I've never had a warmer beer in Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, the glass is always ice cold. It's phenomenal.
Oh, so the opposite of what you first said.
Opposite of what I first said. I meant to say never had, like, a just okay beer, but I sped myself up thinking about the cool glasses of a Buffalo Wild Wings beer. But just great stuff out of Coach Mazie. And this, honestly, like, we talk about NIL and we talk about how important it is to have the community engaged for that to be successful. And this is a great way to do it, to give back to the community, to just say, hey, thanks for coming out. Thanks for watching JJ Weatherholt. I'm sure you enjoyed it. I did too.
Steve, would you have lied? Like, if you were at a Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, enjoying dinner, and someone walked in and was like, if you were at this baseball game, you get a free beer. Would you raise your hand or would you be honest?
I think I would probably lie. I think, yeah.
I think you specifically have earned that right.
It's believable,
like,
you know?
You've been to enough games to be like, oh, of course Steve was at the game. Like,
yeah, it's like, if it's a lie I'm going to tell, it's going to be believable. I'll have some sort of evidence where if they're like, oh, where's your ticket? That's where we're in trouble. That's where I go, hey, wait, that buffalo chicken dip gave me diarrhea. I'll be right back. And just escape through one of the bathroom windows because the social anxiety will set in, which that's not what we want. So, but I think you're right. I think it's believable. And from the looks of it, I feel like if I were like, hey, Coach Mazie, I wasn't there at the game today, but you have my word, I'll be there next game and the game after that. And I think that's really where it would all start. But you just love to see this, especially in, I believe he's retiring after this year, and he's just been really going out and doing a bunch of different things, it seems like, to really experience and make the experience of college baseball in Morgantown that much more special.
Shout out to the Mountaineers. They have replaced, by sweeping UCF, they have replaced UCF as the lone Big 12 team in the top 25. Again, think about how goofy this season has been, respect to these teams, that UCF and West Virginia have been our Big 12 reps instead of anybody from Texas or Oklahoma is really something. But good for them. West Virginia's fun. JJ Weatherholt's back. Like, I really like what Derek Clark threw another 9 innings. Like, I like them a lot. I hope they're in the postseason. I'm excited to watch them. All right, a couple more, Steve. Well, yeah,
I'm just impressed that, like, Weatherholtless, they were able to kind of keep things rolling. Reed Shumley is very fun.
Mm-hmm. He's like 25, right? He's been around for a minute.
He had the walk-off home run on Sunday.
Oh, he's only 22. You can't beat the name Shumley. It's such a funny name. And I feel sorry for Reed Shumley that Pawn Stars exist and if that skewed people's opinions of him in any way, but I'm here for it. Now, next up, I want to talk about this video I stumbled across of Joe Gerber congratulating Travis Bazzano on breaking his records. And just from the looks of Joe Gerber, this is a college baseball player. This is a guy who played college ball. You look at him, that is a mustache that held a 34 career home run record for a while. It shared it with, I cannot remember the gentleman's name he shared it with. It's going to eat me up alive. I'm going to Google it as soon as you guys start Steve. Talking. But he's congratulating Travis Bazzano on breaking his home run record, which is really cool. And it was a funny video where he was like, oh, congrats on tying it. Oh, he actually beat it because why wouldn't he? Why would he share some time with us? He gave it like literally maybe a day of sharing the record. And he's like, okay,
moving on. Moving
time
past
for me it. To do the thing now. But just really cool moment and really cool for Travis because, you know, he talked about Oregon State being his dream school and how bad he wanted to play for the Beavers growing up, and he made it there, and now he's etched his name in the record books there, which is pretty insane.
I totally agree. Beavers still looking good. Travis Bazzano is going to be very wealthy in about 2 months, 3 months. Steve, we have one more moment here. Again, your captions just make my day. Steve tweeting a clip of Billy Amick hitting a home run. Billy Amick proving the appendix is a useless organ as he belts the first pitch he sees post appendectomy out to left field. And yeah, Billy Amick missed 1 week, I think, or not.
Yeah, I think just one weekend. Yeah. So like it was like they played Ole Miss. Burst appendix.
It is a useless organ. It is literally a useless organ, right? Like, this is obvious. I'm actually not impressed. I'm not impressed. Like, I don't think that he needed the appendix to hit home runs. It wasn't helping him before. So him not having it now doesn't really change things. If he like, you know, call me if you play through kidney stone problems or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely pregnancy. Other, like, internal. trauma that would be more impressive to homer through.
This is one of the least this is one of the least impressive surgeries to bounce back from.
If he had a
quadruple bypass heart surgery, open heart surgery, then
yeah, but then around second base when he's pounding his chest, I'm not sure he makes it to home plate. That's a different story.
Can we do a quick Billy Amick side tangent, and then we'll do our players and pitchers of the week, and then leave? I'm on Billy Amick's bio. You're not going to believe this, but it says he likes to hunt and fish. So that we'll move aside. but I know. But the two things that stand out about this is one, it says that his father, Lyndon, was a NASCAR driver. I want to know more about that. Okay. So we'll have to do some research. But the other thing that I like on here is that it says that he chose Tennessee over Florida and UNC. And that is funny because this is a transfer situation. So how does Clemson, he actually chose Clemson is actually who he chose first. And then after he hit a million homers in the ACC, then he chose Tennessee over Florida UNC, which is just an amazing Tennessee like portal flex to be like, not only did he choose us, you know, it's one thing. It's like, oh, yeah, he chose us because he really, you know, he's from whatever this area and he wanted to play at his favorite school where he's been watching. It's like, no, it's like once this dude was balling out, he picked us instead of these other teams that were trying to get him to come to their school. It's just so funny. I've never seen, maybe this has become more common in the portal era, but seeing the he chose blank over blank in a portal context is so funny. I love that so much.
So it's in NASCAR. So NASCAR kind of has like I'm deep on
Lyndon Amick.
I got Lyndon Amick. So my understanding with NASCAR, and please correct me if I am wrong, there's kind of like D1, D2, and D3 here. where there's like
that's the true Cup series, series. Yep, yep.
The Xfinity series, and then the like D3 is trucks.
Yeah, sure. That's like kind of that's okay. Continue.
That's my understanding. There's the Craftsman Truck Series.
This
I think that
this is there are people listening to this are like, you guys are butchering this so badly, but
we're from the north. I don't know what to tell you.
There might be someone listening who goes, yeah, that actually, yeah, that's right. Dead on.
Trucks are D3, they don't get scholarships.
Yin yang.
There's no scholarships for the trucks. Lyndon Amick ran 93 races over 7 years in the Xfinity series, which is like the second level. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he ever made it to the top level.
Okay.
I think he did. Yeah, he never raced the Daytona 500, I think. Mm. He did race something called the Daytona 300. I did not know existed.
Whoa.
It's not a marathon. It's a sprint.
He had 10 top 10s throughout his career. No wins. I believe his best finish, he finished fifth in Talladega. Not the Talladega 500, Talladega 300, because
okay.
It's because the trucks, the gas mileage, the MPG, financially intelligent.
He was driving. He was
the okay.
So he wasn't in the truck series.
Okay.
It looks like he maybe did participate in some truck series according to his wiki. Anyway,
he also did the truck. He did 7 years in D2 and he only ran four races in truck life.
Okay.
But he did finish. He raced the Daytona trucks. He raced Nashville trucks, I believe. But yeah, I would say his best finish was fourth at the Myrtle Beach 250 in 1998. And yeah, that is Lyndon Amick.
Amazing.
For you.
All right. Well, there you go. I would love to know more about this. So Billy Amick, let us know.
Boogity boys.
Steve, do we have another ad read before we wrap up this pod?
We do, in fact.
All right. So hit us.
And I actually have it right here. Baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked bat came together to make the perfect grill tool. Now Baseball Barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are lessons for teams in college baseball. Fun and functional Baseball Barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike, and a great way to out tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life. Thanks, Baseball Barbecue.
Thank you.
Okay, so
Baseball Barbecue.
Thank you, Baseball Barbecue. It appears there's a level of NASCAR racing that doesn't exist anymore. Ooh. Called the IS Cars Dash Touring Series, also known as the Baby Grand National Goodies Dash Series and the iPower Dash Series. It went from 1975 to 2011, and Lyndon Amick won the series in 1996, I believe, at the beginning of his career. So it's kind of like the minor league, maybe the minor leagues or like JUCO. So I think he was like the JUCO NASCAR champion.
I think my takeaway from
this
NASCAR tangent is that probably can't apply baseball terminology to truck racing all the time. But
Another thing about Lyndon Amick, it appears he retired from NASCAR racing and then fought in Iraq. So
again, it gets better. Right. Amick family is unbelievable.
Afghanistan. He was in Afghanistan.
And then he chose Tennessee. His son chose Tennessee over Florida and UNC.
And Clemson.
I think the most impressive part of all this is driving 300 miles before cars had like Bluetooth, before you could listen to podcasts and like really space out, you know?
Steve would be so amazing. Bad at that.
Wow. I would be so bored. I would be looking at anything like call shiny.
You like hold your phone, you're driving at 150 miles.
Hey man, got some time to work or got some time to talk. I'm just at work, driving for work. Oh, where are you heading? Right there, right where I started. Oh, just past it. Just past the destination once more.
Wow. Guys, I cannot wait to meet Lyndon Amick in Omaha. Him. I want to know everything about his NASCAR racing career. And like, I want to ask Billy Amick about like, did he grow up like going to races? Does he remember going to race? Oh, probably not. His last race was in 2003.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
But that doesn't mean it still wasn't like a something that was interested that a family was in me growing up in South Carolina. I'm sure he was.
Yeah, maybe his dad still drives the car fast. You know, Jordan's like,
can I do a little Billy Amick side tangent? And I was
this is what I get. No, I've enjoyed this. I just know that, you know, this pod's already running long and I want to get to our players and pitchers of the week. I'm glad we did that. This is entirely my fault. Jake and I have both added 20 minutes to this podcast
for
reasons that have very little to do with the D1 baseball season. That's okay. Let's finish up with our players and pitchers of the week, Steve. Who is your player of the week?
Player of the week, I'm going Jacob Tobias from Lipscomb, who over the weekend, or course of the week, 13 RBIs. That's a lot of RBIs.
That is a lot of RBIs.
He struck out five times, walked twice, but we're in it for the RBIs. I give love to a lot of guys for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes my player of the week will be the guy who hit the most home runs. Now, did he hit the most home runs? No, he only had two. He had two home runs, one double, six hits, and 14 at-bats. But driving in 13 runs with that little amount of hits, that's telling me there's sacrifice flies happening. There's all sorts of different ways to manufacture a run. So Jacob Tobias, sign me up.
Jacob Tobias, freshman at Lipscomb. I was very confused because I know there's a Jacob Tobias on Arizona State, but he did not have 500 RBIs this weekend. So shout out to the one at Lipscomb for getting our player of the week. Jake, who you got?
Nick Kurtz, three home runs. I think he had seven RBI. Like he's back and I'm excited about it.
Yep.
There you go.
Amen to that. My player of the week is Cameron Cisneros. This is someone I've been wanting to talk about for a while. This guy, I was tipped off to him. Shouts out to Jackson Scudder, part of the East Tennessee State University baseball analytics team, who introduced himself at the winter meetings in December. Jake and I were at Nashville. He was like, and I've been keeping in touch with him because it's like, oh, you got an ETSU plug? Sounds great. And he told me before the season, keep an eye on Cameron Cisneros. Steve, this is your kind of player. You take a look at Cameron Cisneros. This is a 6'1", like 240, 250 first baseman. And not only did he hit four home runs this weekend, he does not strike out. Cameron Cisneros this year, I believe, is rocking a 5% strikeout rate. He currently has 12 home runs and 9 strikeouts. So, again, there's not that many guys with more homers than strikeouts in D1 college baseball, and he is one of them, and I don't think he is getting nearly enough attention. He absolutely bullied Samford over the weekend, and I think he's going to be a nice little 6th to 10th round pick for someone because he can put the bat on the ball and hit it very far. Cameron Cisneros, cheers to you.
I'm in. I just saw his roster picture. His mustache on the left side is a little bit longer than the right side. So that it is. to me is a guy who's like, whatever, sign me up. I'm for this guy.
Who's your pitcher of the week, Steve?
My pitcher of the week is coming all the way from Utah, which this is like one of the cooler names, in my opinion. It's Bryson Van Sickle. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's got a funky little mustache. He's a redshirt senior, I believe. Yes, redshirt senior.
His
this weekend against
more balanced than Cisneros.
It's cartoonish almost in like the formatting of the mustache, the gap between the two, the left side and the right side. It's a well-kept mustache. But 9 innings pitched against Arizona State this weekend, in which he only surrendered 3 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, struck out 8 batters, did it in 82 pitches.
Wow.
That'll work. That's efficient. The pitch clock, I believe, took its hat off and tipped it to Bryson Van Sickle. And you talk about just a name. Like this guy, he is the cartoon baseball enemy of like the team that you're like, oh, we're playing the big team in the championship this week that you're scared of all week. It's like, I hope they don't throw that Bryson Van Sickle kid against us. Bryson Van Sickle gets on the mound and you watch him throw 80 pitches and you're done.
82 pitches at Phoenix Muni, which again, respect to Bryson VanSickle. This is also kind of says where Arizona State baseball is at right now, and that they could get shut out on 82 pitches at home. But good for Mr. VanSickle. That is a fantastic pick. All right, Jake, who you got?
I'm going to take the Arizona University of Arizona. My apologies, pitching staff, because in an age where the ball is flying over the fence at a comical rate, Arizona has figured out that the key to pitching is to not walk anyone so that there is nobody on base when the ball goes over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this club leads the country in, I guess, trails. They're last in walks. Okay.
Wow.
They're last in walks. And last in walks given away. They have 83 walks on the year and 300 innings. They have walked just four batters as a team over the last seven games.
Whoa. They've won, I think, 12 in a row.
Yeah, not walking anybody really helps with that. Okay.
Over the weekend
against Louisiana Tech, I believe they only walked three or four in three games. But like going back to their series against Cal last weekend, this team just doesn't walk anybody. The ball's gonna go out. But if they're solo shots, they won't kill you. So kudos to the University of Arizona for putting the ball in the zone.
Great call. They have swept UCLA, Cal, and Louisiana Tech and beat Stanford and New Mexico midweek. They have GCU today. That's a fun one. And then Washington State. Yeah, I mean, again, we're looking for anybody in the Pac-12 to show us anything besides Oregon State. And Arizona has been doing that. That is a great pick. I'm going to finish off. My pitcher of the week is Ian Cook of UConn. I know it seems like UConn's had a bit of a disappointing season at 16-17 overall. However, I love that they had a series against St. John's, who's had this great season. And it's like, oh, St. John's making a move in the Big East. And then UConn's like, we're still UConn. The reason our record sucks is because we played all these great teams. And Ian Cook, who's been there for a couple of years, has been one of their mainstays in the rotation, says, what's up, St. John's? How about 14 strikeouts across 7 2/3 scoreless innings, 2 walks? 121 pitches, have a good night. They'd take the series over St. John's and reasserting their Big East dominance. Very impressive stuff from the Husky right-hander. Gentlemen, this was an exquisite podcast. Mike Rooney, you have changed our lives telling us to record in the morning.
it's like the guy knows something, you know? It's really he knows something.
And listen, everybody, if you're watching, just because Steve is yawning doesn't mean he doesn't care.
Right. I do care. It's just the fact that
it's just look, that
anytime before 11 a.m. That's my early, you know.
Like we said though, Steve, a theme of this show this season is how far you've come as an adult, faking eating the chicken off the ground instead of actually doing it, being willing to wake up and record podcasts with us at 8 a.m. on a weekday morning. This means a lot to us. We are so happy we still get to do this. We hope people have been enjoying it. I've been having a great time. Thank you, Jake, for the NASCAR knowledge and many other things. Thank you, Steve, for starting my Tuesday on such a wonderful note. Mr. Shock, please close us out.
What a week. We talked about a lot of things. I don't know if they were all beneficial, but I do know they were all fun. We covered chicken nuggets on the ground, chicken tenders on the ground. Sorry, Bojangles, Chicken Supremes. I didn't mean to disrespect you like that. You know Steve loves you. We covered NASCAR, which I did not think we were going to get into. We covered some of the shorter trips in NASCAR. We've been all over the place. And the lesson to take away from this is that we probably aren't stopping going to being all over the place anytime soon, including with this outro or this exit piece where I say goodbye to you. So thank you, of course, to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue, for making this all possible. And thank you to D1 Baseball for letting us all talk to each other on the D1 Baseball Network and the SiriusXM Podcast Network. And thank you for tuning in, because you make college baseball better. Have a great week, everyone.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Hey there, I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.